Hello and welcome to the GX video series and the GX podcast. My name is Ian Khan and I'm your host. We're filming at the World Government Summit 2023 in Dubai. The world's foremost leaders, critical thinkers, influencers, and decision makers are here in Dubai for the World Government Summit. I have with me for this interview Ryan North. Ryan is a fellow Canadian, fellow Torontonian, and acclaimed writer. And I'll let him do the talking about him. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about yourself.
Well, like you said, I'm a writer. I do a lot of work in comics, but I've also written fiction, nonfiction. I did Choose Your Own Path versions of Shakespeare. I've done nonfiction guides to reinventing civilization if you're ever trapped in the past. All sorts of fun stuff across different mediums.
So here we are in Dubai, right? It's for somebody coming from a comics industry, right? It's we've all read comics, grown up reading comics, and we're at a government summit, right? And we're going to have this conversation is about bringing the narratives, bringing the world of comics, visual design, visual storytelling into government, because I think that's missing, right? Mm-hmm. What do you do when you pick up a government document? It's a document with a billion words on it, and you just got to sift through it. Let's talk about it. What are you seeing from your experience working in that industry? How can storytelling make way for us to make governments better? Let's start with that.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think what's so great about comics is that it is words and pictures intermingled. And that gives you so much that you don't get with either on their own. For example, if you are not a native speaker, which a lot of people are, if you're just reading prose, you don't know what a word is, you're out of luck. In comics, there's pictures to support that, so you have two chances to figure out what happens. You have greater context. The other advantage we have in comics, that is, it is an inherently fun medium. If I hold up to you a page of prose, just words on a sheet, and a page of comics side by side, your eye will always go to the page of comics. There's color, there's action, there's shapes, and it attracts the eye. And so when you're working in a medium that's inherently fun, that's a benefit for me as a writer and a storyteller, but it's also a benefit for anyone who wants to communicate, because you're getting that for free, effectively. Anything you're saying is a little bit more fun, a little more interesting if it's told through comics. The same way that, like, we've all watched bad movies, mm-hmm. and they're still kind of fun, even though they're bad.
Yeah.
Even bad comics are still kind of fun because the medium is fun. So I think there's a huge potential for nonfiction, for any sort of information to get across. When you're working in that medium, it really makes it accessible in a way that you can't with just words on a page.
Yeah. So you've also, of course, in addition to your books, that I'd recommend anybody to pick a copy, order them, do whatever you need to do.
I also agree.
To get a copy, hands on the books. No, I really am. I really love books because you can immerse yourself in the mind of the writer for that amount of time and learn so much. I personally don't learn everything that's in a book. I might pick up 1% of that book, mm-hmm. but a skill that you pick up from any book could be life-changing. It could just completely change the direction of your life, right?
Yeah.
And I think storytelling for all of us in a society where all of us are on TikTok, on YouTube, we're glued to our phones, on social media, trying to connect with people who are nowhere near you, storytelling could open up a way to communicate. Right, to express ourselves. How do you as a writer see that? You write some very famous series that you were telling me about just now. Tell us about those and how you approach the topic.
So, I mean, right now I'm doing Fantastic Four for Marvel, and that's a comic that's been running for 50, 60 years. Yep. So, you're following after Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. No pressure, just make sure it's good. So I'm writing Fantastic Four for Marvel, which is a comic that's been going on for 50, 60 years. You know, you're just falling after Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, no pressure. But at the core of it, end of the day, you're trying to tell a story in a way that makes people feel something. And I'm probably biased as a writer, but I feel like that's a skill that we can all develop, and it has such benefits, right? Like, there's so many times in our day-to-day lives where you're called on to tell a story. We don't recognize it as that, but someone says, you know, tell me about yourself. What do you do? You're telling a story. How was your day at work? You're telling a story. When you're presenting something in a meeting, you're telling a story about what you're trying to get across. And if you can tell that story effectively and make people feel something, it becomes a story they like, and it becomes a story they want to share with others. I feel like, I guess at its core, it's communication.
Yeah.
It's getting across what you want to say in a way that resonates. And it's a skill like any other that you can develop. I don't believe that it's something that is innate to people. It's not like I'm an especially gifted person who does this without any effort or any training. It's a skill like any others, and we can all learn it, and we all benefit from it, I think.
Yeah. Let's talk about storytelling and government services, right? Or how governments interact with people and the friction that exists between people and governments. Here's an example. You need to renew your driver's license, right? And many times you could maybe do it online, but sometimes you may want to walk into a service center and do it manually or a counter. Or maybe you have a bill to pay, or you have a marriage license to apply for. So many different reasons. How could we use storytelling to make services less intimidating when it comes to government services?
I think the real challenge there is that, for your marriage license example, this is something you're gonna be doing ideally at most a handful of times, maybe even just once. But for everyone who's involved in that circle, they do it every day. And so their idea of what is intuitive is not the same as what your idea would be. And when I got married, I went down to the marriage office and I had to get this document, this legal document, and you needed ID and it had to be a passport, couldn't be a driver's license. I had read this long, confusing document online and realized that's what I needed, driven 3 hours back to my house to get it, came back. The couple in front of me in line had not done that, and they only had their driver's licenses, which means they could not get their marriage license today. And there is no tension like watching a couple you don't know realize that in front of you in line at the marriage office and realize their whole plans are ruined. And that all happened because it wasn't clearly communicated on the website. This is what you need. The people at the office were not very sympathetic because they see this every day. Why didn't you simply read the website? It's all there on the site. And that's a failure in communication. It's a failure in storytelling. If there had been, I mean, I'm biased, I'll do a comic example. Here's a 2-page comic, what you need to bring, little pictures, make sure you have this, this, and this. Driver's license will not be enough. That's all it takes to get those high-level concepts across clearly and quickly so you can avoid that sort of situation. So I'm always in favor of clear and, if you can, fun communication.
Yeah, and it's great that you mentioned that. I was going to ask next is, what can potentially be the role of illustrated messages rather than words that have to be read? I myself am the author of a book that's a very simplified version of a complex topic. It's the Metaverse for Dummies. It's like, hey, this content is really simplified, and everybody can understand it. But what about illustrated content, right? That you just follow, there's maybe 4 panels of illustrations or messaging and you got it, right? Yeah. Have you seen in your observation or in the industry that you work with that visual communication works better than written communication?
It can. There's actually been, in another life I was a computational linguist, and so we look at these sort of questions of what can we communicate with pictures alone. And unfortunately, there's this, you think it'd be perfect, right? It's just, there's no words to get confused, it'll be really straightforward. But you run into this issue of pictures can mean different things, and the order you read them in means different things. You show someone eating something poisonous and then throwing up, that could be a warning, don't eat the poisonous thing. But if you look at those pictures backwards, the person throwing up then eats something and feels better. And so now it's saying eat that thing. So if you have the same cultural context, which usually you do, they can be very effective. But you always have to be aware that someone who's coming from a different cultural context, maybe reads pictures in different orders, could get the wrong idea. Yeah. So it's powerful, but it's not a panacea.
What about cross-cultural visual communication, right? I mean, you often come across content on social media where maybe something visual in a specific region or a country can mean something totally different in a different country, right? Do you see the need or do you see the opportunity for messaging to somehow become globally neutral? And I'm trying to maybe reinvent something here. Like, is it possible for visual communications to be neutral globally?
It depends on the globe, I guess is the answer. I mean, it's think of an example, how do you say something's good and bad? In a lot of places, we have good being a green check mark and bad being a red X. I can't think off the top of my head a place where those would be swapped, but I also can't tell you in all honesty that that would be understood around the world. So I think there's a movement, if you look at a lot of international iconography, towards simple shapes, the circle with a line across it being don't do this, a green circle being do this. when you have red means bad, green means good, that cultural context, it works, but it can become muddied. I think the more we get globalized, the more we have different cultures communicating with each other on a day-to-day basis, the more you see these symbols being largely recognized as sort of a pictorial pigeon.
Yes.
This is symbols that we all get means this. Arrows are a good example. Mm-hmm. Generally, they all seem to point in the same direction. Right. You see those a lot in signage.
Yeah, yeah. And where I'm trying to go with this is the standardization of government communication across the world. For example, our passports across the world are standardized. They all have the logo of the country on the cover outside. The photo page is on the left side always for every passport in the world. I think there is that standardization.
I can believe it.
There's pages inside the way you can stamp and so on, and the address is at the back. And I'm going towards more, is there a need for standardization of signage and illustrations across the world for all government entities so that a government service center in Korea would have the same signage, same symbols that are used in Japan, they're used in the Samoan Islands, they're used everywhere, it's the same. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, making the world kind of an equal place, an equitable place where where people are comfortable and they know conventions are the same everywhere, right?
I mean, it definitely prevents confusion. I think I'd agree with you that for iconography, that seems like an easy win. I think you can run into danger where you push beyond that into language and culture. Like, why do we not simply have one world language? Yeah. Why do we not simply have one world culture? And you lose a lot through that. Yeah. When you're in a new place, being able to understand, to get your way around, to deal with a government service and not feel lost or not feel like you're in way over your head, that feels like a benefit to me for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So what can be, as we head towards the end of our amazing conversation here, what would be your recommendations for governments? And many governments are here. A lot of them will watch this video cast. They'll listen to it wherever they listen to podcasts. What would be your recommendations on incorporating visual communication in government, making it more simpler or more effective?
Yeah, I mean, my advice would be not to be afraid to see what other people are doing. A lot of these problems have been encountered around the world over and over. Like, we all have to deal with the problem of how do you get information across in a clear way? How do you bring people to where they need to be? How do you say these three things are the most important? These questions have been solved in a lot of very similar ways, and we can learn from that. And like you say, if we move towards a more similar global standard, that helps everyone. Like, that makes communication easy and frictionless. It makes interactions with government agencies easy and frictionless. And that's, I think, the goal at the end of it is to not... If people could interact with the government, that would be something they would look forward to and say, wow, that was so easy.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that process. I feel like that's a goal for everyone, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're also speaking at the GX Talks. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about controlling the weather as a supervillain, but it does touch on government and governance too.
Love it. Thank you. Tell our viewers and listeners where they can find you, where they can source you and see your work.
You can find me at ryannorth.ca and on Twitter, for as long as that lasts, at RyanQNorth.
Perfect. Ryan, thank you so much. It's been an honor speaking with you.
It's been my pleasure.
We wish you all the best and hope we can catch up with you again in a future episode.
That'd be great.
All right. Thanks so much.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.